Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Joins us every week, Oregon State team captain. It is presented by Jamba Juice. Give the gift that keeps on sipping, the gift of Jamba. He joins us every week. I'm going to ask him to do something a little different this week. He will be playing the role a little bit of analyst. I'll ask him about Oregon. I'll ask him about Utah. I'll ask him to handicap the game or what he's looking at in this game. But, Jaden, as you join us here, I want to know first and foremost, what was it like to be on the field for this game? Ducks came out on top, but you were there.
Well, as an in-state kid growing up, you know, admiring all the people who were playing the games on both sides, it was really just a blessing, a dream come true to be able to play in the game not only this year but, you know, for the past few years. So it was a cool experience, but like you said, you know, didn't get the result that we wanted.
It got chippy at the end of the game. I know some helmets came off. Some words were exchanged. What was it like to be on the field amid that? And is that just good, hard competition, or were there some bad feelings there?
I look at it as good, hard competition. I mean, if you look back at, you know, the history of rivalry games, that's kind of how they are. That's kind of how they're supposed to be. You know, obviously it means so much to both sides. So I don't think anybody took it as anything very personal or anything, just, you know, competitors, and, you know, that's how it gets sometimes, especially in rivalry games.
You guys will play in a bowl game. You already have 7 wins. You'll be going for 8. There's been talk about the L.A. Bowl and some other places. Do you have a preference there, you know, or is it you just play the game they give to you?
Yeah, I think you just approach it, you know, like any other game. You're just waiting for that next opportunity to play. And in this case, you know, we don't know exactly where we're going to go yet. I'm just really eager to find out, you know, who we're going to be playing, because it's been weird going through this week without, you know, being able to watch tape on any specific team. So, you know, just being able to find out who we'll be playing and when we'll be going, it'll be nice.
The break for your body, I don't think the rest of us think about kind of the week-to-week grind, the bumps and bruises that you get. What do you, health-wise, how do you feel right now, and how does it feel to not, like, have a opponent this week that you're having to gear up and play?
It's been a really nice, you know, to get, you know, that relief for your body. Like you said, not a lot of people really factor that in, you know, over the course of a 13, 14-week season, and then you add 4 weeks of fall camp on top of that, you know. It really piles up on you. So it's been nice to be able to, you know, take a deep breath and relax, you know, physically and mentally. And then, you know, like I'm saying, you know, we're ready to figure out who we're going to be playing next and start preparing for them.
Is it going to be, because bowl games sometimes come down to one team just is happy to be in a game, another team really wants to win it. I get the sense that you guys will want to win this game. It won't be enough to just be like, hey, we're bowl eligible, let's go pick up our swag bag.
Yeah. I mean, the way I look at it, you know, all the talk of Oregon State hasn't, you know, been to a bowl game in a long time, and this and that. I mean, the way that we kind of look at it is that if we don't win the bowl game, I mean, what does it really mean? So, you know, like I said, you know, we'll treat it the same as any other opportunity to play, and we'll look forward to, you know, preparing for victory.
You're one of those guys that has an opportunity or an option to come back next year, play another year, not come back. I'm sure school may factor into this. Where do you stand right now, or what goes into that decision for you?
Yeah, it's something that I've, you know, been thinking about, you know, a lot recently. Since the end of that Oregon game. And I guess it's really just going to be about, you know, talking to my trusted people, my support system, my family, you know, my coaches as well, and just figuring out what's best for me. I still have 2 more terms after this current term to finish up my master's. That's something I take a lot of pride in, so that'll be another factor to think about. So, yeah, I'm just going to play it by ear, you know, continue to get as much information I can, and, you know, once again, lean on my family and my support system to help me make the best decision that's, you know, in the best interest of my future.
Will the coaching staff talk to you? Is that a conversation where you, like Jonathan Smith, will you sit down and go, hey, here's what I'm thinking, what are you thinking? Does that factor into this?
Yeah, definitely. Coach Smith, Coach Blue, because these are people that, you know, I trust. and I built the relationships with them, and, you know, I trust to not only tell me, you know, what's in their best interest or, you know, what benefits them, but I trust them to, you know, give me the advice that they feel is in my best interest as well. So I'll absolutely have, you know, Coach Smith, Coach Blue, and, you know, other coaches as well involved in, you know, helping me make the right decision for myself.
What's the master's in?
I'm getting an MSB in Marketing and Analytic Insights.
Man, I was going to say, do you want to coach someday? But you might be too smart to be a coach someday. Like, what do you want to do with that?
I really don't know. You know, my biggest thing was, like, if I'm going to be here, I might as well take full advantage of my time here, you know, with my education. You know, try to achieve the highest level of education as possible. So, you know, I'm really proud of myself for making that decision. It hasn't been easy at all, especially being in season, you know, taking 3 and 4 classes. That are, you know, high-level master classes. But like I said, you know, I'm proud of myself for going for it. And then, you know, I'll be proud of myself setting that as well.
You've had great influences on you as a football player. And it goes back to maybe Alex Molden when you were at Westland High School. And I ran into Anthony Newman, another Duck, at the Oregon State game. And he came up and he gave me a hug. And he said, I heard your interview with Jaden. He was at our house for Thanksgiving. You were dating his daughter. He is so happy that you are, you know, in their circle. And he says, I give him some advice. I give him some breakdown after games. He says it's so weird because he also is close with Ryan Nall, another former, you know, Beaver. And he's, you know, diehard Duck. And here he is kind of counseling you or maybe giving you a couple of coaching points.
Yeah, definitely. Anthony's been a tremendous role model for me, you know, ever since he entered my life. Not only just, you know, with football stuff, but off the field as well. You know, he's a great man. You know, something that I really look up to and hold in high regards. And, you know, their entire family, Terry as well. Obviously, my girlfriend, Daylin, and, you know, her siblings as well. It's just an amazing family. Like I told you last week, you know, it's just been a blessing to have, you know, all of them into my life, especially every time that they did.
What was the food like at Thanksgiving at the Newman household?
It was great. It was great.
Well played.
It was amazing, yeah.
What are we doing Jamba this week? Are you, what kind of Jamba mood are you in?
I went yesterday and I got the banana berry. And, you know, the woman who made it yesterday, she made it pretty good. So I don't think I'm going to stay away from that this week. I think it'll be a banana berry week for me.
All right. You've played against Oregon last week. You played against Utah earlier in the season. They will meet, you know, coming up tomorrow in the Pac-12 championship game. What are the keys to the game? I'm not going to ask you to pick a winner, but what should we be looking for early in this game, and what will you be looking for if you watch the game?
I think a big key will be, you know, the physicality aspect. You know, those are two teams that, you know, are both physical. So I think, you know, whoever brings it more so on those fronts and, you know, in the run game, I think that'll give him, you know, a great chance for success.
All right. Jaden, I appreciate you joining us every week, and we'll check in with you next week. We'll probably know what bowl game you're playing in, and we'll do the run-up to the bowl game. So I appreciate you.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, as always, John.
Thanks for coming on the show. That's Jaden Grant, Beavers defensive back and team captain. It's presented by Jamba Juice. Give the gift that keeps on sipping, the gift of Jamba. All right. I want you to leave it locked in here. We've talked a little bit about the Beavers, the Ducks. We've interviewed Jaden Grant. We've talked to Salt Lake City's own Bill Riley of ESPN there. Matt Prehm gave us the recruiting lowdown. Up next, we're going to talk about whether Oregon State could get itself to a Pac-12 championship game. What's missing at Oregon State? We'll kick that around next. Later in the show, I'll raise a question. Are the Ducks weary? Do they look tired to you? Is Mario Cristobal like the same things that make him great? Are they also kind of grinding Oregon down? We'll talk about that coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. And tomorrow on the show, I will be live from Vegas during this radio program. Judah Newby will be hosting. I'll be joining, popping in, popping out, doubling down, so to speak, splitting eights. Leave it here. You got the BFT. Stay wide. Man, that interview with Jaden Grant, fantastic. If you want to get a podcast of any of the interviews on today's show, Bill Riley, ESPN Salt Lake City in Hour 1 was lights out. He's picking the Utes like Judah Newby is. Judah, you moving to Salt Lake?
I was just thinking this week, it's a crazy week for the state of Oregon versus the state of Utah. The Blazers played the Jazz earlier. Of course, we get Ducks Utes. And Saturday afternoon, we get a Western Conference final in Major League Soccer between Real Salt Lake and Portland Timbers at Providence Park. So it's a big state rivalry week, I'd say.
Bill Riley and I, in hour one, placed a wager with each other. And I feel like I'm on the good side of this wager, but he wants beer. I'm not sure I want beer from Salt Lake City.
I don't trust him to make good beer or good coffee.
That's what I'm talking about. But we'll have the wager anyway. If you want the podcast of the Bill Riley interview, you can grab it on SoundCloud, iTunes, wherever you get a podcast, you can grab it. Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, was lights out talking about the recruiting impact of Lincoln Riley to the Pac-12 conference. Where does that What complicating factor does that create for Oregon and Utah and some others? And, of course, Jaden Grant was great in that last segment, team captain at Oregon State. I want to pivot a little bit here and talk about the Beavers because we have a Pac-12 championship game tomorrow in Vegas. Utah and Oregon are playing. Oregon has played in three straight, and Utah has played in three of the last four. These are regulars to the Pac-12 title scene, or at least the competition. How far away is Oregon State from being in a Pac-12 title game? Because the Beavers needed a little help this season. If Washington State had lost to Washington in the Apple Cup and the Beavers had defeated the Ducks, they'd be in this game. I mean, it's simple to say, all right, there was the path. But I like the trajectory that Jonathan Smith's on. I want to talk about what Oregon State needs to do to get back into a position where they're playing meaningful games in November. And for me, Judah Newby, two things. Jim Mihalchek, the offensive line coach and run game coordinator at Oregon State, is the unsung hero of this season. He is the guy who is engineering and designing, and everybody's talking about the offensive line. And Mario Cristobal said it after the Oregon State game. He said, "Man, they run that zone better than anybody in America." He said anybody in the country. And I immediately thought about Mihalchek. Oregon State's got to retain him, like they've done plenty here to get Jonathan Smith some more money. But I kind of my eyes when the release went out of Oregon State, you know, creating more money for Jonathan Smith. My eyes kind of went to his support staff and his assistant coach pool. He's getting a huge bump in the resource that he has available to hire and pay and retain his coaching staff. Jim Mihalchek, the run game coordinator, used to be at Cal, now at Oregon State. He is the genius behind the run game at Oregon State. They've got to retain him. So keep an eye on that hire because I think some other coaches may come for him. He'll have some opportunities. I like what he's done at Oregon State. That's huge. So retain Mihalchek. That's how you pave the path. Second thing is they got to find a QB. And you know, apologies to Chance Nolan. He had a 300-yard passing game against the Ducks. But he doesn't scare me when he's in the pocket and he's looking to throw the ball. They need to find a QB who scares people and who can go out and win games. It's a quarterback-centric game. Oregon State needs a QB. I don't know if it's Sam Vidlak. I don't know if Nolan takes a step forward. I don't know if it's Tristan Jebbia. I don't know if it's somebody that comes through the portal. But Jonathan Smith's got to have a QB1, and I don't feel like they had that this season or even last season. I feel like that's a real glaring hole in an offense that really is designed. I think quarterbacks are going to want to play for Oregon State, so find your QB. And then my third thing, I need a wide receiver who, if we're playing pickup basketball, is posting people up. I need a wide receiver that is 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", to see that kind of wide receiver in Oregon State's offense. Isaiah Hodgins really, I think, was a playmaker that was not replaced by Oregon State. And so I'm looking for a QB, wide receiver who's big and physical, and I need to see Jim Mihalchek, the run game coordinator, retained. Judah Newby, how far away is Oregon State from being in a Pac-12 title game?
I want to say they can go next year, but I think it's foolish to assume that the Pac-12 North will unfold the same way it did this year. You know, UW was down, Wazoo was all over the place, and still somehow was able to salvage a pretty special year for them. I don't think Stanford's going to be down for long. I don't think Cal is going to be down for long. I think all these teams are still working to get their identity post-COVID, and I trust those coaches, Wilcox and Shaw, to put things together, and we'll see how the first-year guys do at Wazoo and UW next year as well. So, but at the same time, I agree with you completely. You know, Mihalchek and Lindgren staying there and Jonathan Smith, you got to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing for Oregon State is really good offensive football built on the run game and play action. it looks on the field a lot like the 49ers to me, you know, a Shanahan type of outside zone and bootleg. You're not asking your quarterback to do too much. You're just asking him to make right decisions and be accurate. That's what Chance Nolan brings you. But to your point, John, the Beavers can get to a Pac-12 title game if they get a playmaker at the quarterback position to go along hand in hand with that really dynamic ground game that raises their floor. And the last thing I would say is on the defensive side of the ball. You know, if we're going to go ahead and say that the offense will be consistent and raise the Beavers' floor, every game they're going to have a chance to be competitive. What will take them over the top is if that defensive unit gets really scary. And they've been better with Trent Bray, but we saw in the game with Oregon, there is no pass rush, none whatsoever. They have got to figure out how to rush the passer on the defensive line because they've got talented guys like Jaden Grant in the back end and Rajon Wright, but they have to rush the passer. They're not going anywhere until they get a pass rush down as well.
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting to see what they do with the D coordinator position. It feels to me like Bray is the guy long term, but let's see what they do there. How about the teams that are in this game tomorrow? Utah and Oregon. How likely is it that we have a rematch next year? You got Lincoln Riley at USC. You got Kalen DeBoer at Washington. Chip Kelly seems to have found some footing. You know, any shakeup in your mind, or are we going to get a repeat?
I don't think Utah's back next year. I'm kind of leaning toward Whittingham retiring at the end of this year. Just because, yeah, well, you put it out there. Yeah. What we're talking about, especially if they go to the Rose Bowl, it makes all the sense in the world. And so I don't think Utah, if they had a first-year head coach, would be back. I'm higher on Lincoln Riley than you are. I know you had that column this week saying, hey, let's pump the brakes. I get that. But, and we had callers on the show earlier this week, they're like, oh, he's going to struggle in this conference. I'm like, really? The dude went to, you know, he won the Big 12 each of his first 4 years. I know the Big 12 and Pac-12 are different, but it's still a really difficult conference to win year in and year out. This is not Graham Harrell, you know? This is not the air raid offense. This is a well-balanced, good-running, high-octane passing offense. I think regardless of what recruits he gets in the first year, I think USC is probably my South favorite. I know that's crazy to say, but with the turmoil at ASU, the uncertainty of Utah's future, I lean toward Lincoln Riley winning and winning big early more than you do.
I just am struggling. Like, first of all, USC's bad. Their talent pool is bad. He's not inheriting the Oklahoma program that was handed to him by Bob Stoops, right? He's not inheriting a bunch of talent. We saw Oregon State push USC around on the field. We saw UCLA embarrass them. So I think
we interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.